The reading is from John's Gospel, chapter 17, and verses 20 to 26. And this can be found on page 1085 in the Church Bibles. John 17, from verse 20. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Fantastic. Let's bow our heads, shall we, as we have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you so much for coming to this wonderful church, for Phil in his leadership of this church, and I pray that you would help us to understand more what our identity is as Christians, as individuals, and as part of the community here in Reigate. For Jesus' sake, amen. And I'm sure that, I hope there's one back from that as well, that, two back to get the, thank you, that's brilliant. And then it should work all right. This is part of a series that you're doing on your identity. You've looked at people of love, and then you've looked at being children of God. And now we're looking today at people who are united for a purpose. And you may like, if you've got a pew Bible, to keep that open at page 1085, I think I heard. So you might like to keep an eye on this. It's just so lovely to be here. And I have come here before, and of course we know Phil and Sue and the family well. But it's amazing how, with complete strangers, there is that sense of oneness, isn't it? You've probably been to Christian festivals. I know there's a good troop of you who go off to New Wine. And again, I've met some of you there. Complete strangers, and yet that sense of one. And yet unity isn't just a feeling, is it? It is the lifeblood of the church. And the prayer that there was the foundation of the Evangelical Alliance is in 1846, is that we might be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world might know, that the world might believe that thou hast sent me. We're people who are united for a purpose. That's our identity in Christ. And unity is for a purpose. It's that the world might believe. Being one, it's not a formal arrangement or an outward agreement. It's based on and it mirrors nothing less than the relationship between God, the Father, and the Son. That's a huge challenge, isn't it? It's relationship-centered. It's unity for a purpose. And, I'm not doing very well.
Pull it down.
I need to pull it down. Oh, I'm so technically incompetent. I'm so sorry. Oh, it's easy. Conversion experience. It's all a part of being an evangelical, isn't it, really? There we are. The motive for unity is the Great Commission of Jesus. Jesus prayed for complete unity, so that the world might believe and know unity with God. That's it, if you've got your Bibles in front of verses 21 and 24. One of the greatest barriers to belief is disunity in the church, in politics. We can see at the moment with this, the EU business. The moment a political party becomes disunited, it loses popularity. It's a real danger for the Conservative Party at the moment. It happens in the secular world, but even more so in the church. When churches fight each other, people lose interest. And conversely, when churches unite, it is so attractive, isn't it? Unity is very powerful. So the motive is the Great Commission, and the means is the Holy Spirit. The means of unity is the Holy Spirit. Jesus prays that I myself may be in them, verse 26. That's the most extraordinary truth of the New Testament, that Jesus comes to live in us by the Holy Spirit. Let's never lose the amazement of that fact. The same Holy Spirit in all Christians of whatever church, whatever denomination, of all those 80 plus or 79, or I thought it was 84 last count. Amazing. A lot of those churches are small black majority churches in London, which are growing fast, and they want to be part of the alliance because, if you like, we're a rubber stamp of authenticity, of orthodoxy for them, that they say actually they're not some weird sect. They're part of the Church of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit unites us. And the mark, the motive is the Great Commission, the means is the Holy Spirit, and the mark, so exciting, is the love of Jesus. Jesus prays that the love you have for me may be in them, verse 26. What higher love can you have than the love that God the Father has for his Son Jesus? Jesus' prayer for you is the love that you have in your heart for other Christians is that same love that God the Father has for Jesus. Well, that's a huge challenge, isn't it? How might that look? Respect and honour for those who we might disagree with? Amazing what happened, wasn't it, at the primates meeting in January. I'm sure many of you here were praying for that. People who disagreed but could have oneness, disagreeing well, as our Archbishop puts it. Preferring one another in love. The mark is the love of Jesus, and the measure of unity is the visibility of Jesus. Sometimes people talk about invisible unity. Jesus didn't pray for invisible unity, nor did he pray that we might be almost one. He prayed that we might be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me. Complete unity, verse 23. He wants the church to be completely and visibly united. One day it will be. In the meantime, as we build bridges, we work together and come together with other Christians from different parts of the church, we can see visible signs of our invisible unity. Unity, what's distinctive about followers of Jesus? How does that shape the way that we live? How can that shape the way that you live as a congregation and you live in the wider communities that you represent in this area? How can you be distinctive as a Christian who values unity? Well, that prayer of Jesus is the driving force of everything that we do in the Evangelical Alliance. And it's our vision as a church is to be united in mission, confident and effective in voice. We're relationship centred as Jesus prayed. So thank you for enabling us to carry that out. And that's a model for you as a church and what you're doing here in Reigate, that you can have that as the basis of what you give. I'm really struggling. I'm so sorry about this. There we are. And I'm the measure of unity, and there's our vision that we I might go like this when I want it flicked. All right. Women, don't even think it. So as Christians, we've got a responsibility to step in, to speak up, to be good news to the communities that we live in. And we can only really make a difference when we pull together and when we unite to become the answer to Jesus' prayer to his church. And that's why at the Evangelical Alliance, our aim is to bring Christians together to facilitate a more effective, dynamic, credible church across England. And also Scotland, Northern Ireland and Wales. We've got offices in each of them representing the particular needs of the nations that combine together to represent the United Kingdom, uniting evangelicals across denominations, ethnicity, church size, church style and location. Our One People Commission, which is involved particularly with quite a lot of those 80 denominations, represents 21 countries of diverse ethnic mix in this country, because we reckon that there is about 20% of the Christian population are ethnic minority churches, but they have a very small voice into government and the media. So they come under our umbrella and we represent them. And within them, there are smaller groups. There's one particularly for the South Asian churches, so that we can look at their particular needs and help them have a united voice into government and the media. We know that unity works. Things happen when Christians are united, when churches are united, when we bury our prejudices for the sake of the gospel. And I'm sure you can tell me loads of stories of that being true in this area where you've seen how unity has just been the most amazing thing as you've worked together with other churches on particular mission initiatives. The great thing is the government is recognising too that the church is good news for society, and they want to work with us to make our communities better. And I thought I'd just touch on a few of the areas that the Alliance is involved in, hoping that as I do so, the Holy Spirit will be speaking to you and will help you to think, well, do you know, we could do that here. Or, yay, we are already doing that, but we could do more. And that you'll see that, because what we are is we're an organisation that represents you. And what we want to do is make things easier, better for you. And the programmes that we're particularly at work with are things that the ear to the ground of the... We have a council that meets twice a year, which has representatives from across the evangelical body in this country. The things that they hear are issues that we need to address. So things like the Home for Good initiative for fostering and adoption came out of that a couple of years ago, and now it's flying on wings of its own as an independent charity based where we are, which is very exciting. So we keep in very good touch with them and what they're doing. So if we flick on a bit, in advocacy, we speak out on behalf of government and the media. We've got a dedicated press office that speaks with truth but grace into issues that matter to evangelical Christians. I don't know who in this congregation might be involved in the press, but pray for them. They play a very significant part. Pray for how you might get involved in the local press more, in just spreading the good news. Everybody reads your local paper. Great area to be more involved. We're building relationships with MPs and leaders to ensure that Christians are represented at the top levels of government. I was very heartened here. There are a couple of councillors here in the church. Again, I hope you're praying for them in the work that they're doing. But maybe there could be more. There are usually lots of spaces on for local councillors. And we've got great stories of quite a lot of young people who are filling those spaces as a sort of step in their career path of thinking of getting more involved in politics. Encourage your young people to take those spaces, because usually it just needs somebody to volunteer. We're also protecting religious liberty. And the thing we're particularly working on at the moment is the counter-extremism bill. I'm sure you've been alerted to that and are praying for that, and hopefully writing to your MPs and getting involved in that too. We're trying to launch a new resource with the Lawyers Christian Fellowship called the Speak Up Campaign, where actually as Christians, the law gives us an enormous amount of freedom, but we're all a bit terrified because we read things like the woman with the cross at Heathrow Airport, or the Ashes Baker incident, or there's a new one in the press today you might already have seen of a councillor in Kent, a magistrate in Kent, a magistrate for 15 years, and he's been sacked now because he spoke out on TV about his views on same-sex adoption. And, these are issues of religious liberty, and we need to make sure that we are not just holding the boundaries, but able with freedom to protect the Christian voice in this country. We're also working beyond the ballot box, and we've got, again, with the EU issue, we're trying to produce resources that help Christians think through those issues. And we're hosting a hustings with Kahn and Goldsmith in London, looking at different issues for them so that they have a chance to address issues that are of particular interest to Christians. That's in April in Kensington Temple. So we're raising up Christian leaders in all of the cultural spheres so that we can see in education, media, business, the arts, all of those areas transformed. And with that in mind, we launched our public leadership programme, because however hard our advocacy team work, they're only ever fighting current culture. And actually, if we're to have a real mark on society, then we recognise that we needed to be a lot more intentional about encouraging Christians to lead in public life. But actually, there needs to be a cultural change, not just in the public sphere, but also in churches. I'm sure that if one of you here were to come and say to Phil, you know, I'm feeling a call from God to go and preach the good news and to be a Christian of influence in Patagonia or Paraguay, you know, Phil would be so open up. He'd be saying, absolutely, we must put you through the mission committee and, you know, test this calling from God. And, you know, if this is a calling from God, we'll want to be praying for you and to supporting you financially even. But if somebody maybe were to come and say, I'm feeling a call of God from politics, often, churches have a different reaction. I'm sure they don't hear, not good old Phil. But they might say, oh, we're very careful. You don't want to compromise your values. You know, you might get corrupted by that murky world. Rather than seeing that as actually an absolutely key mission field in this country, they're the ones who make the laws, and we need more Christians to go into politics, not just politics, but business, the arts, the media, all these areas where Christians have the opportunity with confidence and grace to represent the views of the Christian community. And so with that in mind, we're producing resources and networks and training because we know that support of that kind is best done through the local church. So we want to equip you to make that happen. It's no good it happening from above. It's you thinking, look, who are those young people in the youth group at the moment who we can see God could use? Let's encourage them. Let's give them all the backing we can to make sure that they, if God leads them that way, they're well cared for. I just think you look at the impact of the Wilberforce sect, when the Clapham sect in the days of Wilberforce, when just a bunch of people who met together, prayed together, were prayed for, really transformed this nation to be a nation where Christ was held high. And we look forward to that being echoed again and again in this generation and the next and the next. Let's be people of hope. That, you know, you can read the news and be very depressed, but actually it's no more depressing than it's been in any other era. But it's us who has the responsibility in this era to do something about it. And you, in this area, you are uniquely placed to be transformers in this area, as together, in unity, with your identity rooted in being a people together who can have different views, different political views, but be one in terms of how you want to speak for Christ in this community. So we're doing various things with grown-ups who are already in positions of responsibility in their work. That's a very naughty word, isn't it, grown-ups? And those in their 20s and 30s, that shows that I've got a bit beyond 20s and 30s, doesn't it? That I should think of myself as a grown-up now. But we're doing weekends for those in their 20s and 30s. So again, if there are some of that age group here who'd like to go on a weekend where we can encourage you as you move into leadership in the public sphere, then we'd love to be behind you. And we're very well placed to do that because of another programme that we run, which is called Gather, which is uniting Christians at a local level, Christians like you, in mission-focused unity movements. Now, Phil experienced that a great deal when he was in Reading. We had a very strong unity movement there, and all the church leaders used to meet at Greyfriars, in fact, to pray every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. for, all our time that we were there, which is, Jonathan, my husband's now retired, but we were there for nearly 20 years, and that carries on. And anything that happens in Reading is not about this church or that church, it's about the church in Reading. And now Reading Borough Council has somebody employed to look at caring for the elderly that's working with the churches. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing what has happened because the churches are drawn together. And the Evangelical Alliance is in a unique position as we have this sort of bird's eye view of the country to see where that's happening well in other parts of the country. Fantastic things happening in Manchester and Southampton. But in other parts of the country, not so good. You know, there's places, rural places particularly, where there's very little going on. Or there's other cities where there's actually quite a history of disunity. But we can feed into that. We can provide people and help and resources and share best practice to enable a much bigger picture to happen across the country. And we see this as a real move of God. It's so exciting. And actually what Steve Clifford, who you heard speak there, said, what he loves to do at the Alliance is get on board with what God is doing anyway. And Gather is a very good example of that. I was at a Gather conference last year where the CEO of Trafford Borough Council, which manages the whole of Greater Manchester, said that the churches were the largest volunteer force in the Manchester area, serving one in four residents. And I thought to myself, how amazing that there is that opportunity for one in four to know the love of Jesus through that contact. And because it's not just about social action, is it? It's not just about providing a food bank or debt counselling or, you know, all these things. It's actually being able, through relationships, to express our love of God and to share that with others. It's not about ramming the gospel down people's throats. It's about being authentic Christians in the community and meeting the needs of the community because we love Jesus. And I'm sure that that will resonate with things that you're doing here. Maybe a challenge to think, are we just doing social action? How is the gospel central to what we're doing? Or to think, is there more that we can do in terms of meeting the needs of the community because we're Christians? So there's one for discussion in your home groups or whatever. Anyway, so exciting stuff in the churches, but what about those who are no longer in the churches? The missing generation who are in their 20s and 30s, the millennials as we call them, who are leaving the church in droves as they see that faith is simply no longer relevant. Three in every 100 people in their 20s attend church. Only three in every 100. And that's why we launched Threads, which is reaching out to that millennial generation, men and women on the fringes of church, you know, struggling with doubts, big life issues, and those who've left the church because they find it's no longer relevant to where they're at. It's out of touch. And so what we're doing is we're providing community, online and offline. Online, threadsuk.com looks at issues that are facing Christians in their 20s and 30s. You know, issues like justice, singlehood is a very big thing that's coming up all the time, and there's open and honest discussion. And then offline, we've started having network events, and again, on topics that are of real key interest, challenging and provoking young adults to consider these issues more deeply. And we just noticed there was a gap there. It's, you know, part of that pattern for drawing people back into the church. The great news is that all research shows that if children have had, you know, some sort of Christian contact in the children and youth groups at this age, they're more likely to come back. But it's a heartache, isn't it, for those of us who are Christian parents, maybe have seen their children go through children and youth work, and actually they appear to be nowhere spiritually. But actually God is at work, and we're doing what we can to enable them on that journey and in those difficult years where church just does not resonate. So exciting stuff in the churches too. The gospel is at the heart of everything we do. Gospel, good news. We're evangelicals. We want to tell that good news, to be messengers of that good news. And we're so thrilled that Gavin Kalber, who was leading Youth for Christ, joined us as he, you know, crept on into those 30s year group. He realised actually the world was bigger than youth, and actually he wants to proclaim the good news to all ages, and that's the responsibility that he's got at the Alliance, and he is just a ball of fire. You may remember, some of you who are perhaps members individually of the Alliance, came under his father, Clive Kalber, who was often on the stage at Spring Harvest. And well, Gavin is very much a chip off the old block, and happy to say that he's got that same vigour and dynamism that just is desperate to see people come to Christ. He has a particular responsibility, because we commissioned some research last year about, you know, who people think Jesus is in this country, and it was shocking but not surprising, is what I would say. One of the statistics was that less than 40% of the country believe that Jesus was a real character. He's like Father Christmas, and yet there are other things that, you know, but they knew that he died on a cross, you know, but it's a fairy tale, maybe. We've really had to dig deep into this research, and as a result of that, making plans to step up the game in terms of what we do as a nation in evangelism, and you'll be part of that in the way that you think that through for yourselves. One of the ways that we're hoping to provide a better resource for churches is we're working on providing a one-stop-all website, which is going to be called the Great Commission, on which will be posted all sorts of brilliant resources. So all the different, you know, alpha-style courses and things that are particularly good for seasons or different age groups. You know, excellent material. You might have produced your own resources here in Reigate and thought, you know, this is good, but we've adapted it for us here. But some congregation up in Lincolnshire might love to hear about it. So it's trying to provide resources. And there'll be a different testimony every week of someone who's come to Christ. I think we're not the week before, because you have to try and test these things, you know. So a tried and tested testimony, maybe from a year before, where that person's continued to stay the course, so that we can use those up to date in talks and things that we're using. So love your prayers as we get together to make that happen, because it's an exciting lot of work. So back to John 17 as we draw to a close, and that amazing verse 23. How can you put that prayer into practice in your own area of influence? How can you be distinctive as a Christian here in the place that God has put you? Well, number one, it's by committing to unity in your own relationships, at home, in the church, at work, in the local community. That's where it begins, that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Unity is powerful. If that's just a hot button for you, for some issues that are going on in your life now, seek prayer and just fling it out to the Lord, because actually God wants you to be released from the pain of disunity. And unity is powerful to proclaim the name of Jesus. So committing to unity by praying for greater unity amongst Christians here in your own church family, in your own community, but on a bigger scale across this country. And thirdly, we'd love you to join in with what we're doing and the work that we're trying to do on a more national scale, and for you to be part of that, because when we say we represent 2 million Christians, we want to say we're representing you too. And yes, you're a member church, and we're so grateful for the church supporting us as an organisation, but we'd love you as individuals to be part of that, so we can feed information to you regularly. And I put there, I hope you've got those little leaflets. If you didn't, please collect one at the back, and you can sign up for email alerts. The one, you know, if there's nothing else you sign up for, please sign up for the monthly prayer alerts, and we'll give you things that you can pray about there. But also take a magazine, and if you're a member, and then you get that magazine every couple of months, which is always on a different theme. So that's a way that you can stay in touch with us. So my prayer for you is that you might be one as a congregation, that you might represent that to this community, and that Jesus' name might be glorified in this town through you. Your identity would be firmly that of being united in Christ. May God bless you in all you do and all the enterprises that enable that to happen. For Jesus' sake, amen.